looking for beavers. All right. Let's go.
Oh, I feel like a Power Ranger.
Hey, you see that?
My dick's asleep.
That is exactly what the beavers would want.
And we're back with another episode of Beaver Rodeo.
That R.
That Latin flair, baby.
R-ers.
I'm your host, George, with my lovely co-host.
Last Jen. Wait, who am I? what year is it? I'm still on the R things. You didn't.
You get too distracted.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I don't know why I was expecting you to curl the R's in your name. Is that doable?
George. No one says George that way.
You put it in everything. Oh, was it? Remember there was that...
What, pancreas? There was...
That lady at Jack in the Box.
A long, long time ago. Not too distant galaxy. We used to work at a comic book shop, and across the street there was a Jack in the Box.
Yeah,
and we would often get breakfast and lunch there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this lady who was of some Latin descent, whether it be Mexican or whatever, that was south of the border. She had a super thick accent, and for some reason, she dropped R's in everything, like words that did not need R's.
That didn't have R's.
That didn't, yeah. So, like, you'd be getting your order, and for some things, it was like, okay, so you got a burger, but the burger would be like burger, but then she would say pancakes, and like, there'd be an R, and I was like, wait, what? Did you say pancakes? Like, that didn't sound right. Cherry? No, there's an L. It's not cheery. It's chili. What the hell? What the? It was the craziest thing. Every other word. I used to be really good at imitating her, but like it's out of place now. Like, if I were trying to do a full sentence, I would just be like, hurr, 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 and cheese and fries.
That makes me think of that the French thing that I showed you not long ago.
Yeah.
The red, 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 red. Anyways.
Super digression.
Wonderful.
That should be the new name of the podcast.
We digress. Beaver Rodeo. We digress.
Everyone needs a motto, I guess. In any case, anyone who's into Star Wars and who is got their finger on the pulse of the stars and the wars, and it's May. We had May the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, there was the leak of the possible script and possible movie we could have got for episode 9 instead of the J.J. Abrams version, which would have been done by Colin Trevorrow, who has helmed such movies like the Jurassic World series, which has been okay. Like, it's, we're never going to get back to the glory days of Jurassic Park Part 1,
yeah.
You know? But they've been serviceable, in my opinion. You know, they're fun. You know, Chris Pratt is entertaining as hell. You know, so like he's doing an okay job of creating an extension of that world. So they were going to give him a shot at finishing off one of the most biggest franchises ever, which is Star Wars. Of course, that ended up getting canceled and JJ came back and did what he did with it. But we can't help but sit here and wonder what could have happened.
Yeah.
There are, like, we're not going to get into the whole review of the script because there's plenty of places you can go online to have much better reviews and in-depth details of what that script looked like. I think there's even an animated short feature.
Oh, what?
That works off of the script that you can watch on YouTube. So you're better off watching that than listening to these two fools. But it...
I am offended.
It reminded us that we recorded an episode...
Yeah.
...of Beaver Rodeo that was actually going to be our test... It was our pilot test episode.
Yeah.
And we recorded it in December... Because it was like the day after or the day of.
Yeah.
We watched The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Not The Last Jedi, I'm sorry. The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
See, I don't like the movie so much that I just canceled the name out of my head. And we gave a extensive review on it of our opinions. You know, not all bad stuff. There was good stuff. You know, The Mandalorian also came out that time, so that was a nice palate cleanser for us at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But we figure it's like, what better opportunity than with May than to...
to release
episode release this zero. Episode zero as our episode, what, 10? 9? I don't even know where we're at anymore.
Nobody knows. Yeah, because we recorded that, what, in December, and then we've been holding on to it because work and life and everything got in the way. We never got to finish editing it until, like, by the time we would be able to release it, just... it didn't even matter anymore. Like, yeah. Everyone's over the movie. Like,
I think it was February, yeah. Honestly, when I actually finished. I got the time to edit it.
Yeah, and finish it. And we're like, well, I guess this just... that was our just our practice, you know?
Yeah.
Like, feel for the waters. Like, and but it's like, all right, look. We were talking about it for a while. It's like, we should release episode zero into the wild just for the fuck of it at some point. But, no, what better time than now?
Yeah, so without any further ado... let's take a trip back in time without any further ado. This is just fun for you. This is
it is. Star Wars, say Star Wars.
We're here to entertain them, not us.
I think they enjoy it.
So yes, our review of Star Wars. The Rise of Skywalker.
You sound like a talking machine. Like that tone. Pew!
Beaver Rodeo. Welcome back, everybody, to the first episode of Beaver Rodeo.
Yay! So good and so dumb.
Good morning. You're with George and
Jen.
Apparently the happiest couple in the world. On our very first podcast, we wanted to talk about something that's very dear to our hearts.
Very dear.
And dear to yours, which is Star Wars.
Yeah, we're going to start this podcast off right. This first ever podcast by throwing shade at one of the biggest franchises ever. Yeah.
Over 30 decades of greatness.
Some define greatness, but yeah.
There were some good moments. Like, I don't want to like come across like we don't like Star Wars.
No,
it's safe to say we love Star Wars.
We do love Star Wars. It's brought a lot of joy into our lives, and there were definitely a lot of good moments, but there are definitely a lot of cringe moments.
Especially as of late, thanks to The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah!
A movie that I wanted to love in every moment.
I tried.
And it was hard. It was very hard.
It really was. It was.
And before we get to that hard, I think we got to talk about what was actually, like, just to be nice. There were good things.
Start with the good shit.
There was good things. I'm not going to pretend things didn't happen for the people who are just like, it was the best film in the world when it wasn't. But there were things that I could understand.
Yeah.
The rose-colored glasses kind of moments. I get it, and I see where they were.
For sure.
You know, I can't deny it was a visual spectacle to see. You know?
Always.
Like,
always.
If The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi didn't exist, and you just hop into this film... Straight off, like, let's say this was the first film, it would have been amazing.
I would have liked it a lot more.
Yeah. It would have been so good.
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
The opening scene alone. We'll start with the opening scene. Kylo Ren running through that forest, just taking bitches down without a care in the world.
Badass motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, he was angry and just, yeah, it was speechless.
Yeah, was like, speechless. He was cool. Because first of all, Adam Driver as Kylo Ren, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Everything I've seen Adam Driver in, he always kills it. He's a very good actor. I'm glad he served our country and went to this, honestly.
Yeah, he's very emotional.
Yeah.
And everything that I see him in.
He wears his heart on his sleeve kind of guy, you feel.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like whatever he's lived in life, he puts that into whatever role he's in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's always like he takes you on the adventure. You feel like you're going through this journey with him every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the opening scene. Like, as much as people want to hate on the prequels, the scene where you see Anakin take out the village and get revenge for his mother's death,
yeah,
or the scene where you know he killed the kids, we can't deny those were badass moments for Anakin's story.
Yeah.
And seeing Kylo Ren have those moments kind of went back to that feeling of like,
yeah,
he's tearing shit up.
He's on a rampage.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a guy that's unchained.
For sure.
And I felt that. Like, in the beginning, having that opening scene, I was like, all right, we're doing this. Fucking taking names.
Going in hard, yeah. Just like flipping dudes over, just slamming things, just slicing through. Like, there was like some good key slow-mo scenes. It was just visually stunning. I loved it.
I think that's where, like, Abrams shines in those moments. He's what I would consider to sci-fi and like that kind of spectacle of filmmaking,
mm-hmm,
like what Michael Bay is to the action film world. Yeah. And I'm not saying that Abrams is an explosions kind of director.
No, yeah, yeah.
You know, but like the amount of care that Michael Bay puts into an action scene is what I feel Abrams does for his sci-fi action flicks.
For sure. Like those key frames are like, you can pause any frame and you're like, that's a good shot.
Yeah.
And it's edited so nicely.
And this movie is filled with those.
Yeah.
There are tons of pause-worthy moments,
mm-hmm,
where you're like, wow, what a beautiful scene. Like, this could be a painting on the wall. I guarantee if you cut this movie up into clips and watch it on YouTube, it's easy to think of it as like, oh, wow, that's really cool. How can anyone hate on this?
Yeah, yeah.
It's when you put those scenes together and attempt to call it a story.
Yeah.
Where it starts to go downhill.
Yeah, the issues are because it's the third installment of a series. It's the sequel to things that came before, and that's where it's an issue.
Yeah.
Like what you were saying, if it was just if this was the first of that set and it was a standalone thing, I think we wouldn't have as many issues as we do. It's because of those plot holes that happened and lack of continuity from the other two.
Yeah, but there are things that you liked also.
Yes.
That we can't ignore.
I mean, Rey kicks a lot of ass, you know?
Yeah.
Daisy Ridley, she's phenomenal. She's one of those people, like, she's super cute at scenes. Like, when we recently rewatched The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And that scene on the ship, on the Millennium Falcon, she ripped the thing out of the wall or whatever. And she's just like, I bypassed the compressor. And she was so proud of herself. And she's so adorable. And then she's, you know, she has scenes where she's super fierce and she kicks so much ass. And then, you know, she's got a good balance.
Oh, like what The Force was supposed to have.
Yes.
Oh.
Hmm.
Well played.
Yeah. Totally unintentional. But yeah, and then the actors are always great. Like, I think everyone does. Yeah.
No complaints about the actors.
Yeah, everyone does what they're supposed to do with the script they're given, and they perform to the best of their abilities. The droids, always. I love the droids. Yeah,
there it is.
The droids are always the star. There's a new droid. Dio? Tio? Dio?
I still don't know.
But that little...
Maybe it was T.O.?
Yeah, he looks like he could be on, like, Plants vs. Zombies.
Yes, yes.
He was adorable. He has a little bit of a human trust, distrust, but he was really cute. He's like, what were you saying? He was
he reminds me of the kid from the show Atypical on Netflix.
Yeah.
That's what he reminds me of. The main character of that show, like having that autism and everything. I felt like this was an autistic robot,
mm-hmm,
who just didn't want people touching him. And he had to go through his motions before he could be warm up to you.
It was so cute. He's like, hello. And then you try to touch him. He's like, no, thank you. Just like click, like, I'm going to have to say no on that. No, touchy, touchy.
Yeah. I said, hello, it's me, touch me.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I respect that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want you to touch me. And BB-8's always adorable. Sassy Beep Boop, my favorite. You know, C-3PO is, you know, as silly as he always is. Very, you know, wobbly.
Yeah. No, his dry humor definitely elevates a lot of scenes.
And then R2, you know, not enough R2 scenes, but...
True. Yeah, there wasn't enough.
This whole... Trilogy didn't, there wasn't a lot of, it was the BB-8 show mostly. And even this one, to be honest, there wasn't as much droid action as I would have liked.
Yeah.
But
when they were there, definitely, like, the humor in this was good. At any time there was a humor moment, it was well placed and well done.
Mm-hmm. Like, nothing really felt forced in that area. It was just.
There's gonna be a lot of puns, huh?
it's gonna be hard to avoid.
Yeah.
You know? We'll try. We'll try to ease it on the puns. No promises.
Try not, we won't.
What else did I like? There's I call him Drunk Uncle. In case you guys didn't know, spoilers for this whole thing.
We don't care.
Yeah, no, yeah. Sorry, but not really. Yeah, new little tiny alien that operates on C-3PO and does the memory wipe thing so he can, or reprograms him, whatever he does. He was this tiny little dude, but I feel like he was like the little drunk guy. I was like, who's letting him operate heavy machinery right now? I was like, drunk uncle is just like, yeah, it's like, okay, you guys trust this, but apparently he's like the best in the biz. He's the one everyone knows. He did do the job. They got what they wanted. C-3PO is always getting mangled one way or another. It wouldn't be a Star Wars unless there's something.
That's true. You know? I didn't even think about that. Yeah, yeah, he's always being taken apart.
He's losing some shit, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's a physical thing, like an arm or whatever, like, it's always, you know.
I did not think about that.
That's his legacy. Yeah. You know? That's kind of always his thing.
But you know what? That's another thing this movie had. A lot of, like, all the nostalgia that an old school Star Wars person would want, it was there. Anything that was to harken back to something that would make you think, oh, I remember that from when I was a kid in the original Star Wars. All that is thrown in there. And that was something, like, I didn't think about it because it felt maybe so normal to see him being torn apart. Yeah. I didn't even think of the fact that, yes, every trilogy, he is being torn apart in one of these sequences.
It's true. He loses something.
Yeah. That poor guy.
Yeah. You know, he keeps trucking. He's a survivor. He makes it through to the end, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He makes it through. All the droids live.
Yeah. Good.
He doesn't always remember who he is, but yeah, all the droids live.
He gets some of his memory back.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's a little bit. It's just like, you know, a Windows recovery. You don't get everything back.
Yeah. It was like amnesia of sorts.
Yeah, he'll be fine. What else did I like?
I can't think of much else, to be honest.
Cricket sounds, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I think we named it all. I mean, going back to like the how Abrams shoots a scene or whatever and how nice keyframes are, I think my favorite part, like visually, is when Rey is on Kylo's ship and they're having that connection moment and she's in his quarters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it flips back to like him on the planet and her on his ship. And so it's like the contrast in color, because like his ship, it's like, it's just all white.
Yeah.
There's a lot of white. And then on that planet, they're tearing it apart. You know, there's some fire and debris and, you know, whatever. It's just dark. So it's just like seeing that like transition and that blend. I think it was done very, very well and very tastefully. It was very intriguing to see. Yeah. And I thought that was just like a very stunning scene. Outside of that,
which, to add to that, like, you dissect a scene like that, like, and this is the thing that's annoying. It's like, that's a great scene to talk about because of how beautiful it looked and the transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
But in the depth of the conflict that they're going through, in the room that she's in his room on that ship.
Yeah.
It's all white.
Mm-hmm.
White is generally this color that's used for purity and the light.
Yeah.
And then he's on this planet, like you said, with fire, there's darkness and everything, representing darkness straight up. You know, he is the dark side, she is the light side of things. And then as they're transitioning, they're kind of going back and forth between the two. And they themselves, these two characters, are kind of on a seesaw of the light and the dark.
Yeah.
And seeing them going back and forth into that, I felt like is a good way to play on that subconsciously. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe as a viewer, you don't notice it, but it's
you
there.
Think about it,
and you know that battle's there through the whole movie, through this whole trilogy.
Yeah.
So like, cut that out. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to play with that.
We're giving it more depth than it probably was, but yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. Like, Abrams is a good filmmaker.
Yeah,
I'm going to shit on him in about 5 minutes. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, everything he did prior to this, prior to the Star Wars trilogy, he's done some amazing things. Like, I love all his work. You know, he's given us shows like, whether people like Lost now or not, it's definitely something that's split within amongst the fans. But like, it still was a monumental show for television.
It's got a lot of notoriety.
What people say about Star Trek, I don't care. He did great Star Trek movies, you know, Super 8, good movie. It's like, he does good films, you know, it's like, whether people like him or not, people talk about them. And I guess that same could be said for the Star Wars trilogy. The things that we don't like about this that we're going to get into, it's like, it's not one person's fault.
No.
You know, it just sucks being the one person who's the face of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people's faults at this, you know. The people I won't blame are the actors in this. I can't blame the actors. Visual effects did great. Cinematographers did great. You know, a lot of people did great in this whole process. But the people in charge of conducting a proper story, they fucked up. And there's a team there.
Yeah, there's a team of producers,
a team of writers, and the director, you know. And it took two directors and a production team that fucked it up, honestly.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll start to get into that now. Because right after that Kylo Ren scene is where everything started to go downhill very quickly.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what follows that is, well, we got a space fight and chase. Space chase. With Poe Dameron and Finn in the Falcon. They're getting some kind of information.
Oh, yeah, from somebody. From the spy or whatever. The mole.
Yeah. And then they head back to the Rebel base where we see Rey, who is training with Leia. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Leia is now her Jedi master.
Yep.
Something that, let's note that, it's never been shown whatsoever in this. And it's something to make clear. I'm as a Star Wars fan, I'm fully aware we have comic books, we have novels, we have video games. Yeah. You know, there's a whole lore of extended universe stuff that some is canon, some isn't. I know that. I'm aware of all of the other things that tie into the Star Wars lore. But looking at movies as just movies, and if you are a moviegoer and you don't, because a regular movie person is not going to go and read every book about something. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get connected to all that stuff because they just want to see movies.
Right.
So in turn, you have to look at the movies as just that. That's the series.
Yeah.
So we've never had Leia be represented as a Jedi whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Yes, she's Force sensitive. Yes, we know she uses the Force because of thanks to The Last Jedi.
Yep.
You know, and if there's something about The Last Jedi I didn't like, that was definitely one of those things of how she forced herself back into a spaceship without dying. You know.
Yeah.
I love that movie, but there's parts, and that's one of them, that were bad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this movie all of a sudden just wants to give us this thing where like, oh yeah, she's a Jedi and she's a master. You know.
That's so convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie is. It's a pile of convenience.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like there was no struggle really for anyone when it came to what they needed to get. It just, they got it. You know, like, sure, like they go through an adventure to make it seem quote unquote like they're going through a struggle, but every corner they turn, it's like, well, there's the thing I need. You know, well, here's the person I need. Everyone's going to agree with me.
Yeah. Everybody was pretty agreeable.
Yeah.
They had like their little, like, you know, little squabbles here and there, like, you know, jabs and arguments like right off the bat. But in the end, they're like, okay. There wasn't much.
Here's the thing. I feel like the biggest conflict was amongst the heroes themselves as opposed to the people that they came in contact with.
Yeah.
You know, that opening moment of the three of them finally together, three movies in, we haven't really had a good moment with Rey, Finn, and Poe. They're supposed to be our new Han, Luke, and Leia.
Right.
You know, and those three, the original three, great chemistry. You felt it through the trilogy that they were a family, that they had such a bond, and they went through an adventure together. You didn't get that from these three. It felt like they were at ends with each other at all times. You know what I mean?
They definitely had a lot of disagreements. I didn't feel like they were like aggressively like hostile with each other, but like there was definitely like, it went a little bit beyond like, you know, with your friends, you just rag on your friends and you tease them and you give them a little bit of a hard time. It just felt like everything that Finn did, Poe was questioning, and everything that Poe did, Finn was questioning. Yeah. And like, same thing with Rey. Like, as soon as they landed, they're just like grilling each other. Like, what did you do to my ship? What did you do to BB-8? Like,
yeah.
And it's just like, can you guys just calm down right now? And just like, I was force training and a tree fell on BB-8. Whoops, he's fine. And it's like, I was in a space chase. This is what happened. I had to get out to survive. Otherwise, maybe we could have blown up and then none of us would have come back.
Yeah.
You know, it was just kind of they were at a lot of like tens for a little bit as far as going at each other, as opposed to just like a normal conversation between like family and friends.
Yeah.
You know, minor disagreement.
Which at first it was cute, you know, because I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to harken back to like when Han would get at it with Leia, because they had their spats. They weren't perfect, which is okay. They should have some disagreements.
But it went on for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah. Like with that opening, that's like the second or third scene, I think, of interactions, you know, with Kylo, ship chase, now them together. And it's just like, all right, you guys are together. You're barely ever together. Why are we getting 10 minutes of you guys arguing?
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was an argument. It wasn't a debate of some sort.
No,
it was just like, I'm going to say the same phrase again. You're going to say the same phrase again. And we're going to get nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, like I felt like Finn and Rey, they had something. They never really spat with each other. And it's like, all right, they're cool. But that was really it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like there was no evolution to their relationships or their characters. It was like you're seeing them for the first time kind of thing, which is the mistake of this whole trilogy, is every sequel you see, it feels like this is the first time for this character.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, all right, they went through something and now they're at a next level of their journey. It was never that, you know, which is the mistake possibly of having skipping back and forth between directors.
Okay.
It was not hip hop whatsoever.
There was no beatboxing in the middle of that. No, they didn't break up.
That would have been great though.
A rap battle. Talking about their moms.
That would be more productive than what we got. But yeah, like, I think something I've been saying with people anytime I talk to anyone about this within a few days it's been out is, like, you look at Marvel, which is owned by Disney. This is all Disney production.
Yeah.
But Marvel has Kevin Feige. Kevin Feige had a fucking roadmap and a game plan for all of Marvel and the MCU. And it showed.
Yeah.
There were a few setbacks, you know, like, you know, Iron Man 3 wasn't great. Captain Marvel sucked.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they still fit.
Yeah.
You know, he was there to make sure that whoever director was taking on these characters was following the plan that he had.
Yeah.
So sure, you can put your voice in there, but make sure that you get from point A to point B as we need it to be, you know.
Are you talking about continuity?
You're damn right I am. Some people say don't hate on Kathleen Kennedy, but she is their Kevin Feige. And if you're going to take on that role, then you have to have a plan. And it's obvious from the get-go, there was never a plan.
No plan.
At all.
They were like, how about we just put this in there?
Yeah.
This looks cool.
And if there was a plan, then let's say there was a plan. For argument's sake, Abrams had an idea of what he wanted to do with Snoke and Ren and Rey and all this stuff. And then Johnson came in and he's like, well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
That's on them for not reeling Johnson back then.
Right.
And Tom's like, no, we have a plan. This is what you have to do.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's like, if he's not doing it, get someone who will.
Right.
I mean, look at what happened with Solo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they changed directors when, you know, granted, Solo was bad. Yeah. You know, and changing directors midway through a film does not work. Look at Justice League. Doesn't work for them either.
Yeah.
You know? It's always a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, the only time it worked was Ant-Man. Ant-Man lucked out.
Oh, I didn't know that there was a switch.
But that was because they didn't even really start filming yet. You know, once they got to the new director, then they made a whole film. But
gotcha.
That's the rare occasion. You know, but generally,
so early on in production,
you can't do a film halfway and then change it up. And that's what happened with this. You started a franchise, and in the middle, they're like, let's use someone else. You know, and that I can get why there's hiccups. I understand why people fucked up. But there were solutions in there that they didn't want to use.
Yeah, like. What happened in Last Jedi happened, and it was what it was. And then Abrams was very vocal about his displeasure with that and what he didn't like about it.
As were the rest of the actors.
Yeah. And his way of fixing it, and I'm aggressively doing air quotes right now that you can't see, but his way of fixing it was to just completely just, instead of building upon whatever Johnson did in the previous movie and, you know, just shaping it into what he originally envisioned or how he thinks is a solution, he just completely ignored some things and just like just dropped it. Like whatever the fuck happened between Finn and Rose in The Last Jedi didn't happen here. It was just as if
they were bros.
They were just bros. They're just like coworkers, you know, like we met, you know, last, you know, Tuesday for some tacos. We had a great time and now we're back to work. And it was just really weird. Like a lot of the relationship building that happened between not only from Force Awakens to Last Jedi up until now, like it was just non-existent all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It was just, that's why there's that disconnect. And it just doesn't make any sense.
For sure. Yeah. Like going back to like other relationships, like Poe and Finn, these guys were boys.
Mm-hmm.
They're bros.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we got to this film, it's like, I didn't feel it anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't feel it had a connection at this point. Like, they're just, except they're always arguing.
Yeah.
You know, it's for something. Like, it wasn't huge, but it's always some kind of bicker.
Yeah.
You know, there was distrust, it almost felt like at times.
Yeah. And it was just like, it was weird because, like, we're back to, like, Finn pining on Rey again because that's the total vibe that we get from Force Awakens, at least for me.
Oh, yeah. 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 There's definitely there's something there between the two of them.
And it's almost as if Poe isn't, like, about that life. And it's like, bro, what were you going to say to her? What were you going to say when they were falling in that weird like, quicksand trap or whatever the fuck? And it's just that just became like a thing. Like, are you guys competing for Rey? Newsflash, she's not into either of you. Like,
yeah.
But it just Finn was like going after everyone.
Yeah, it felt like he didn't
really
know.
Weird vibes.
They didn't know where to put him.
Everyone but Rose.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they have a moment where you think like they might kiss each other.
No.
And then they hug.
Yeah.
And it was an awkward hug.
Very.
It felt really odd.
Yeah.
You know? Like, because it almost, you know what it felt like for me? It felt like for the actress that's playing Rose,
mm-hmm.
like they told her like, yeah, you're still in a relationship with Finn. But they told Finn like, all right, you're going to go after the new chick that you're going to meet on a new planet who used to be a stormtrooper also.
Mm-hmm.
And so when like they go into it, she's probably about to kiss him and he goes in with a hug.
Yeah.
You know, that's
what
it felt like.
Got friend zoned.
Because even her face, like her character, honestly, it was pared back quite a bit,
a
I will
lot.
Add. Like she got barely any screen time. The character that we got from Last Jedi was erased in this film.
Yeah.
And I felt really bad for her because of everything that she went through with Last Jedi and the ridicule and then to come into this and get nothing, you know, It felt like a slap in the face to me.
She got Phasma, man.
Yeah.
She had screen time, then all of a sudden, nothing.
Which is another character that I felt was just a waste.
Yeah.
But that's getting that to later, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. You never see her again. We'll never talk about her again. But for Rose, like, I felt like she was still trying to be that same character.
Yeah.
And, like, every time it showed her and, like, Finn was in trouble, you saw in her face, like, oh, no, I'm about to lose my man. You know, like, yeah. I felt that from her.
Yeah.
But from him, it was just like, oh, there's a new girl in my life now. I'm going to focus on her.
Yeah.
Like, any girl was in a scene with him, it felt like he was feeling her. Like, he was pining for her.
It was really weird.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable.
It was. It was really odd.
I didn't like it at all.
Which I felt like that's what this one struggled, one of the main things I struggled with, was the idea of a love story. Like, anyone who could have had a love connection. I mean, like, at one part, they made it seem like Lando may have had something with Leia.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Because they have that line, it's like, he's like, oh, send her my love. And, like, you should do it yourself. And he looks into the distance, like...
Dreaming about that booty?
Yeah. Like, something happened between them. And that's never been hinted before. Like, something happened between them, you know?
But also, like, Billy Dee Williams, like, that's kind of his character, you know what I mean? Like, that's the way he talks, like... He could have been talking about Han Solo that way, you know what I mean? Like, that booty. I remember that booty. Like, you know what I mean?
Send,
like,
Han my love.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just the way that he talks and, like, his, you know, his charisma. It's just like, if a voice could have a strut to it, that's Billy Dee Williams. Like, that's it. Like, yeah.
Yeah, he's a smooth motherfucker. Mm-hmm. It's true. Like, he's aged, but, like, it's true. Like, if you just listened to it, yeah, I am with you. That's true.
He was talking about pizza, and he's like, I remember
pepperoni
that.
Pepperoni with stuffed crust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's him.
All right, what else? I know there's more things. It's just, it feels like there's a list that we should have a check of, like, all right, we hit that thing.
Hux. Poor Hux.
Oh, my boy Hux.
Space Hitler. Got fucking what he was so like. I loved him in Force Awakens and in Last Jedi. He's just a regular dude, just with some military background or whatever the fuck. He just went toe to toe with Kylo Ren, who could just murder him by thought. You know what I mean? He just like, and he just stuck to his convictions. And then all of a sudden, he became a bitch
immediately.
Immediately, like, there was no scene in this where he was tough. He was just...
Because even when we find out he's the mole...
Which, yeah.
You know, it was such a bitch way for him to be the mole.
Yeah.
Such a bitch way.
The way he became a Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
At his very last thing is... So let me explain.
Red Sox fans, hold back.
For those of you who are not familiar with a Red Sox fan, good for you. So George and I are from, you know, the Boston area. So we grew up around Red Sox fans because it's Red Sox Nation over there.
Yep.
And anyone that's ever met a Red Sox fan or has known one, you've heard this line in your life, because the Red Sox and Yankees rivalry is very, very deep. And they will always say, I don't care who wins. I just don't want the Yankees to, I don't want them to win.
Yeah.
Anyone else could win. Any other team could win. If the Red Sox lose, it's sucks, but it is what it is. Just don't let the Yankees win.
Yeah.
And that's what Hux said. He's like, I don't care if you rebels or whatever the fuck win. I just don't want Kylo to win. And it's like, oh, you became a whiny bitch in the last scene before you die.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Domhnall Gleeson, that this happened to you. Because you're a great actor and this is
so good.
This is, they gave him minimal lines in this. And, like, he didn't have a lot of screen time.
No, because they introduced a new guy.
Yeah, some other old asshole. And honestly, that old asshole should have been
Hux.
Yeah.
Because he had the Hux persona and attitude.
Yeah.
It should have been him. Like, that's one of those things that we've talked about, what could have fixed this film.
Mm-hmm.
So one of those things could have been, instead of introducing new old general motherfucker who happens to be in cahoots with Palpatine.
Yeah.
Have Hux be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, because when you watch The Force Awakens and you watch The Last Jedi, like you said, he's so badass. Like, he stands toe-to-toe fearlessly in Kylo Ren's face, knowing that he can die at any moment. And he doesn't care. He's like, I don't give a fuck. It's like, I'm fucking General Hux, bitch. You know, to make that really stick and to show why he felt that way, if he was in cahoots with Palpatine, it's like, well, no wonder he feels so confident.
Yeah.
He's with the most powerful dark side user in the fucking universe. Mm-hmm. I'd feel that powerful too.
Yeah. You see this hair? You see this red orange ass hair? I'm the last of a dying breed in the fucking universe.
No, it's true. No other redheads. But that would have made sense. Like, those are those little things, those little choices that could have been made to make it better and make it all kind of tie together.
Yep, yep.
You know, why introduce a brand new character when you already got the guy you need?
Mm-hmm.
He's already there. You know, you're just wasting fucking characters at this point.
Yep.
Like, it, that was one of those decisions where I felt like it's because every moment felt like a slap in Rian Johnson's face.
Yeah, you know, that's what whatever it was.
And it's like, but you realize you're really fucking over the characters that you created in Force Awakens.
Exactly. Because
it's not like...
He didn't fix shit.
Yeah, Johnson didn't create new characters and shit on the old characters. At least not in my opinion. No. Like, I feel like he still tried to do some kind of service to the characters that were already there.
Yes, I agree.
Because in the end, everyone was still badass in Last Jedi.
I feel like Abrams came back and he was just having a hissy fit because, like, he didn't want to share his toys at the playground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, this wasn't how I planned the D&D campaign to go. Like, he just, like, reneged everything that fucking happened. The only thing he kept was, like, what Rian did with, you know, the Force connection or whatever.
Yeah. Which in turn, it's like, those things are cool. Like, I liked the Force connection between Kylo Ren and Rey. It was really cool. It looked awesome, you know? And it adds that extra level to what the Force can do that we've never seen before. But when you watch The Last Jedi and Snoke makes it clear that that connection was never real and he put that connection there, then it's like, well, then how are you guys connecting in this one? It doesn't make any sense.
And then furthermore, at the end when Palpatine says, I created Snoke. Snoke was my thing. And you see, like, that tube of, like, dismembered... Maybe made another Snoke or whatever, just like Snoke parts or whatever. And he's taking the life force away from Kylo and Rey. And he's just like looking at his hands and there's like some goop there.
And he's just
like, oh, so this is your connection. I'm like, this shouldn't be foreign to you considering you said you made Snoke and Snoke made that connection. So therefore you made the connection that you're looking at for the first time in your hands. That was a bit of a breath.
That was one breath.
Yeah. I have strong feelings. But yeah, that was like, what?
Yeah, for the man pulling the strings, he's a bad puppeteer. He's not paying attention to the show that he's playing.
And I get it. You know, maybe he's old as fuck, so it's like, you know, his memory's not
that
there.
Dementia's kicking in.
Yeah. Poor grandpa just strapped up to a machine. He just wants to die in the end, just like, kill me so my Sithness can live on in you, you know?
Which, so to take a few steps back and kind of retread on the fact that every time there was a conflict, an instant solution came into effect, I really got annoyed that every time these characters come in, interaction with someone new or someone that they have to get through, you know, some kind of obstacle of some sort.
Yeah.
Immediately, there was just this give. So there's a few scenes.
Okay.
We have the moment with Kylo Ren meeting Palpatine. Kylo Ren, at this point, who is considered supreme leader Kylo Ren at that.
That's how they introed him in the text in the beginning.
Yeah. In our scrolling text, we see him as supreme leader Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
Which means now he's the guy. He's running the First Order.
Mm-hmm.
He's king shit.
Yep.
You know? He is what the Emperor was, pretty much, in the first trilogy.
He's running the show.
Even the second.
I mean, he's got his...
Every trilogy.
He's got his troop of knights that we finally get to see.
Now that he's unleashed, he's unchained, why the fuck, within 60 seconds, is he going to meet Palpatine? And Palpatine's like, oh, I can do this for you. And he's just gonna be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, there was no give.
It's like, you know, if you just kill him, he's like, oh, I can give you the fleet of a million ships, some of the fuck. And it's like, well, you know, Kylo, if you just kill him, like what you did to Snoke, and take what was his, you can take what was there.
Yeah.
Like, that was your plan anyway. Anyone who stands in your way, you kill them and you take the thing.
Yeah. And now the argument could be made that, one, Kylo Ren doesn't actually follow him because he has his own plans to take Rey, and because he wants Rey to be with him. That's his goal, is Rey should always be with him and they should take over the universe, the galaxy, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. There is that thing that we get to see.
Yeah, he's trying to get Rey angry enough to want to kill Palpatine and then they go to the dark side together. Yeah.
That is an argument that can be had.
True.
You know, another argument that could be had is that, well, the Emperor had persuasion over Kylo Ren because he is stronger in the dark side. And Kylo Ren is having that inner battle within himself between the light and the dark and, you know, killing his dad and all this stuff. Which, granted, that's a struggle I did not see in The Last Jedi.
Nah.
He felt totally okay that he did it.
It's like,
you know, having him have remorse all of a sudden, it was like, ugh, what a cop-out.
Yeah, convenient.
But for me, it's just like, no, that was just weak storytelling. Those are things that can be excuses. He went with this thing. If he was the Kylo Ren that we saw in Last Jedi at the end where he's fighting his uncle, that guy would have killed Palpatine.
Oh, yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt, he would have killed him. At a second thought, he was done it.
What and then he would have taken the fleet. At that point.
Yeah, because who the fuck is Palpatine to him?
Yeah.
He's nobody, you know?
It's not his granddaddy.
And Which adds to a little side thing here. How come he doesn't know the history of Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker? Like, did Luke not tell him that he didn't die as Darth Vader, but he died as Anakin because he killed the Emperor? If you're trying to live up to your dead grandfather and, you know, fulfill what he couldn't do, part of that was killing this motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm kind of questioning, what was the story that was told of Darth when he died? Because it felt like no one spread it out there.
He's like that black sheep of the family. He's like, he's that guy in the family that you don't talk about. You're like, oh, yeah, he's the one that fucks goats. We don't talk about him. You know?
Yeah, but it felt like there was no redemption for him then.
No.
Like, there's a lot of things that happen where it's just like, all right, that poor character's got shat on, you know? Mm-hmm. So, that's how I feel about actually the whole Skywalker thing. The whole Skywalker family got shit on.
Oh, yeah.
Because Anakin was supposed to be the new hope for everything, just as much as Luke was supposed to be the new hope. They were supposed to restore balance to the Force. Anakin becomes Darth Vader, but then he kills the Emperor. And that was supposed to be it. And it's like, all right, he returned balance as prophesized. To have the Emperor come back, it's like, well, then he died for nothing.
Mm.
Luke died for nothing. It's like they had no real power. They were never really the chosen ones. They were never that powerful in the Force. There was always something better. But I digress. That's another thing. Keeping on with how people just went along with shit.
Oh, yeah. That's what we were talking about.
Poe and his little ragtag crew freaking get to that planet where they meet up with Carrie Russell's character.
Yes.
New people don't care about their characters. Gotta add that in there.
Nah, she looked cool, though.
She looked dope as fuck. Just as much as Phasma looked dope as fuck, as Boba Fett looked dope as fuck. Characters that added nothing.
Yeah.
But, she's a good actress. I want to point that out first of all.
Carrie Russell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waste of an actress.
Yeah.
She's, honestly, in my opinion, she served no purpose. You barely see her. You see her, twice in iconical scenes, we'll say. And it's just like, well, any actor could have been that character.
Yeah.
Why did you get someone so important who's doing great things in shows like The Americans, who's been in Mission Impossible, had the Felicity series? Like, this is someone who started off in the frickin' Mickey Mouse Club and elevated to this. You know, you wasted good talent for this 2-bit part. But what I'm going to get to here is the fact that a lot of fury.
You have strong feelings about that character.
Yeah. Everyone. They get there. You could see there is something up with her and Poe. They have a past. He used to be a part of their group.
Yep.
And he defected and he went to the rebels. But however he left, it obviously left a bad taste in not just her mouth, but their crew.
Mm.
And she makes it pretty clear, I'm about to kill your ass.
Yeah.
Like, you're not forgiven. And within 30, 60 seconds, they have a mini tussle with Rey. She shows how badass she is. And then she's just like, okay, I like you. I'm going to help you guys.
Yeah.
And then from then on, they're hunky-dory.
Yeah.
Like, they're best of buds.
Yeah, she became their ride-or-die bitch. Because at the end, when they find out that Chewie's on the ship and he's still alive, she's like, here's my coin. It was my only ticket off this godforsaken planet.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it to you for your cause. Even though I'm still a little salty that you left me on the side of the road when we were trying to bone. But whatever. Here's this coin. Get your friend. And now I'm stuck on this planet that, you know, blows up. And she somehow makes it off of that planet anyway.
Which makes us wonder if she's had a bucket of those coins.
Yeah. Used to be spice runners. Probably just, you know.
Infinite tokens.
Yeah.
Which, side note, I guess running spice in this world is bad.
Well, spice is a drug in that world.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay. Yeah. I guess I must have missed that then.
I don't know if it's explained in the movies.
It's never been shown in the movies.
Oh, okay. I only know that because it's in the
Old Republic stuff.
Yeah, in the games, and I used to play the Shadow Old Republic, so that was a thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
See, but there you go. In the cinematic universe that people know, you're not gonna know spice running is a bad thing.
Oh.
You think of spices, and you're just like
cooking.
Yeah. What's wrong with some spice?
What's wrong with some oregano? You know?
Granted, in real world standards, back in the day when spices first became a huge thing, it was a big deal to have spices. To this day, they're one of the most expensive things you could have in the world. You know, oddly enough, they are a great market to be in. But I just didn't think of it as a thing where it's like, Finn starts grilling him so you're a spice runner. Like, dude, who gives a fuck what he did? He's with the rebels now. Isn't that what Matt used to be a fucking stormtrooper? You know, which they throw at each other.
Yeah.
You know.
But I felt Finn had that more in a teasing tone. But yeah, you heard it here, guys. Star Wars is not about that paprika life. Because it was red also, I think, from what I remember, if I recall correctly.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, but there's many moments like that where they'll meet someone and they're supposed to be at odds with each other, and immediately it's like, oh, okay, we're good.
They concede immediately. Yeah.
Like, with no rhyme or reason. Like, I would get it if, this is going to be really weak to say this, but you look at Batman versus Superman. Batman is fighting Superman, you know.
Martha.
And the Martha thing. It's stupid.
They became
it's
best friends.
It's stupid as hell, you know. But obviously, there's that connection of like, well, Martha's my mom's name. Like, well, do you know my mom? Why the fuck do you say my mom's name right now? Because Batman can't let go of his parents being dead. You know, he's fucking broken inside. So it kind of, it's a horrible fucking
Well, that's comic thing. For you, you know?
Yeah, but Star Wars is in that same realm.
Parental issues, you know? That's,
but
that's always been their thing.
But yeah, like something more than just like, okay, would have been good. Like, just give us something.
It's a little bit more resistant.
Yeah. Because like, for me, it's like that scene, she has a grudge with him. You left us, whatever. He's like, well, I'm with the rebels now. We're trying to stop them because this is what's happening. Everyone who's not with the Empire pretty much should be like, okay, fine. We can talk about this later. You're right. We got to stop them. Because at the end of the day, like, you don't want them to win, right? So the lesser of two evils kind of situation.
Yeah.
But they don't do that. Instead, they just go like, yeah, okay.
They just gave up.
Yeah.
But, you know, in hindsight, I'm okay with that because the movie was already 2 hours and 20 minutes and it felt like it was 4 hours and 20 minutes. So if they actually played out the scenes the way we would have wanted it to, we would have been there for like the next year. And I don't need that.
But that goes with the story, though. Like, if it's a good story, then time doesn't matter, honestly. Yeah.
The pacing in this was great. It was rough.
Because of how bad the story was, we felt every minute.
Can we talk about that lightning, though?
You hate that lightning so much. I didn't like the lightning either. As someone who is an art director, that lightning
hurts
you.
Oh my god, it was so bad. Yeah.
It was sad. It was sad.
It was, you know, like up until that point, the CG was fine. But when you see Rey and Palpatine doing the lightning into the sky and, you know, knocking out all the rebel ships or whatever, and then.
Cool concept.
Very cool concept. Poor execution because it just looked like stock lightning that just got copied and pasted across the field. And it was just so jarring to me. And it just, fuck, it hurt my soul. And it's a very climactic scene. So it was just like, did you guys spend your CGI budget, your visual effects budget? So at, you know, the first half of the movie, then all of a sudden you're like, fuck, I can't make this lightning very believable anymore. Like,
Shutterstock.
Yeah. So it's like, well, we got these royalty-free images. Let's just click, click, click. And it was hard to look at.
Yeah. Like, speaking of that scene, I couldn't help but see that scene and think, like, Abrams, like, he watched The Last Jedi. And that moment, that badass fucking scene when the fucking sound goes out and they ram their ship into the Star Destroyer and shit. No one can deny. That was a phenomenal scene in cinema.
That was power. Yeah. That was a power move.
Yeah, like you felt it to your core.
Yeah.
It was such a beautiful scene. You know, it's one of the top scenes I've ever seen in my life in a movie. Like, and what built up to it. Yeah. You know, because by itself, obviously, is nothing. But everything that led up to it, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I feel like Abrams was just like, I can do that. And then he didn't do it. Like, it was a poor execution. Like, on paper, it sounded dope as fuck, I bet. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
Having them like just fucking force lightning all the fleet.
Yeah.
And the concept
to show that how strong he is, like how overpowered he is. Because at that point, he had already taken their
life
source, their juju or whatever.
Yeah. It's like it was pretty devastating, but it didn't look good. You know, like, and I will admit also, to the untrained eye, it probably looks okay and acceptable. But like our backgrounds, we're artists.
Yeah.
You know, you deal with a lot of graphic design and everything. And I'm a traditional artist myself. And when you see stuff like that, you're going to nitpick at it, you know. And this is, it's Disney. Disney works with ILM. ILM is the best graphics team that you're going to get in Hollywood, you know. And to see that.
Industrial kind of light and magic. Light and, can we stress the light and magic? Force lightning, light and magic. It just didn't add up. Oh, live up to your name at that point. Oh.
Which, to things that didn't add up to stay on that scene, that was a devastating thing to see, right?
Yeah.
That was probably the most powerful we were seeing a dark side user in anything, whether it's the movies or video games or other stuff. To have that followed up by Rey finding some strength because of the Force ghosts that we hear.
I finally talked to her.
Yeah. And then he then does the Force lightning to her, and she just holds it back with one handed lightsaber. Yeah. like it's nothing. And it's like, we just saw that power take out a fleet. It's kind of hard for me to believe, you know, that she just did it. And then she whips out the second lightsaber and the look on his face of like, oh no, two lightsabers. What am I going to do? And then he just like disintegrates. It's like,
did he just turn into Gollum at that point?
I don't know. He may as well have.
Yeah, he was not like, pleasant to look at.
That goes into the thing with Rey. I like Rey. Like, that's the thing. I love all these characters. Like, these characters on their own, and you write about them and you talk about them, it's like, they're really cool characters.
Yeah.
Rey is awesome. Like, I'm not going to be those people who's just like, oh, Rey's OP because she's a girl or whatever. And she's a millennial character. And she just has everything handed to her.
She's a Palpatine.
She's a Palpatine. Yeah. That's what we find out. She didn't have to be Palpatine. There's so many things about her character.
I really wish that she wasn't.
Yeah, like,
can't believe they did that. I was really hoping they didn't do that.
Yeah, like, in The Last Jedi, I liked the fact that she was nobody. She came from nothing. Mm. Because here's the thing. Bottom line, like, I don't know if people feel like there has to be a legacy, because there doesn't. If anyone knows anything about the Jedi lore, which, just going through movies alone, let's not think about the books.
Yeah.
Jedis are supposed to be monk-like character, like, they're people. Mm-mm. Who have a religion where they don't have sex with someone, they don't procreate, you know? So that means all of them come from nothing. The Skywalkers are the first ones that have a lineage. They're the first ones to kind of break the mold.
Yeah.
You know? So for her to have come from nothing and become a Jedi, that was reasonable for me. It made total sense because Anakin was nothing.
Yep.
And he became a Jedi.
Yeah.
You know? So to all of a sudden have her be a Palpatine, it's just like, why? Like, now you're trying to say, like, well, no one could be a Jedi because they're a Jedi. Like, they have to be from somebody. They have to have a lineage. But that's not how it works, you know? So that made no sense to me. And in turn, if you look at the whole thing, there are moments where it's just like, okay, I don't feel like she really earned these powers like other people earn their powers. Like, Palpatine is super strong because, obviously, years.
He's gone through
decades, possibly hundreds of years.
He's old as fuck.
Yeah, you know? Like, that was training that got him that far. Anakin became so powerful because of training. Like, sure, he was a natural with the Force.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like someone who's a natural at sports. Like, if you have a good arm and you become a quarterback, okay, but you had to still train to harness that power.
Yeah, yeah.
She didn't have anyone that was truly good enough to train her. And people will argue that, well, she had Luke at some point and she had Leia. But again, Leia was never really a Jedi in the movies. You know, she never became a master and she trained with Luke. Well, Luke didn't ever have 100% training. He always left in the middle of his training. You know, people forget that. People think like, oh, well, he had 100% training. It's like,
he skipped school.
No, he bounced on Yoda and Ben died, you know. So he never had 100% training like a real Jedi would, which explains why maybe Kylo wasn't that great of a sword fighter. You know, like, I don't mind their scenes. They're good action scenes, but they'll never compare to, like, the fight scenes that we got in the prequels between Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Those were the best sword fights because those were two characters that trained from birth, practically, you know? And I feel like she got to be more powerful than someone who actually trained the real Jedi way from real Jedis, you know? That, no one argues it that way. Everyone's just like, oh, well, she has got it. It's like, well, no, let's relook at this. She's got it, yeah, but she didn't get it the right way. She just, all of a sudden, bam, power. I'm pretty sure Palpatine didn't come out of the fucking womb shooting out force lightning.
No, that's how he came out. Mama was reading some books. She's like, so baby, she's rubbing her belly. She's like, so baby, this is how you use force lightning. She's zapping the little baby and they're like, broop, broop.
That'd be actually funny. But that's my complaint with that. It's like, she became really overpowered and there's no reason.
Yeah.
You know, I would have loved to see more reason of why, like, she got that powerful. Like, let's say she went on a lot of adventures with Poe and Finn, and within their adventures she's getting things, then that could make sense. We find out she's not doing that.
No, how
she's
much
on
time,
her own.
How much time passes from Last Jedi to this one? Do they say?
Don't really know.
Yeah.
I don't really know. But it can't be that long, honestly. It's just long enough for Finn to have grown some hair.
Oh yeah, his hair was a little took Han's pants. And yeah.
And like, and again, to how much they shit on the Skywalker family, Kylo Ren is a Skywalker.
Yep.
He's a Solo, but he's a Skywalker. And he wasn't powerful enough to stop a Palpatine. That means that the Palpatines are the strongest family in the universe, and the Skywalkers are second best.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty evident if this 9,000-year-old man is there.
Yeah.
Still being held up by some kind of app. Who put that apparatus together? Like,
I'd love to know how he survived the drop.
Well, yeah. I mean, there were people, he had followers there, but it's like...
But they were in space.
Yeah.
He was up on a Death Star, the second Death Star that got obliterated.
That's true.
I'd love to know who fucking saved his ass. We know it wasn't Darth.
all of the Sith.
Yeah, which that's the whole Palpatine thing out of left field. It's like, no, like, I want to know the person. There's a lot of people
convenient.
Out there. Yeah.
It's like they couldn't just think of a new... They're like, they knew they didn't want Kylo to be the villain, so it's like... And then they fucking killed off Snoke, so it's just like, well, who do we got? Let's bring this old motherfucker back. It's just too convenient.
Like, it kind of annoys me that the people who are blinded by it, like, granted, it was a good looking movie, but don't let that fool you into thinking that was a good idea to bring Palpatine back.
No, that
has to be seen. That was dumb.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that was a cop out. And in turn, it's like, you're not getting an original story.
No,
like, if I had to rate these by trilogies alone, it's sad to say the prequels are the best trilogy of the bunch. I hate saying that, but it's true. Because they had the most cohesive story. It knew what it was doing from point A to point B, from part one to part three. Like, Lucas
had... You could tell that there was a plan.
Lucas had a fucking plan.
Yeah.
And you know why? It's because we already knew the story of Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, sure.
There was, like, when you saw him as a child, you knew eventually he was
going to be that dude.
He's going to become this guy. You know, we hated the love story in Attack of the Clones, but we knew it had to happen so that he could have kids.
Yeah.
You know, everything made sense as much as we didn't like certain things.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just like, who's fucking Palpatine? Who is fucking him?
Who is fucking Palpatine?
Who is fucking Palpatine and making babies? Like, ugh.
Which that's...
And like, Rey isn't very old. And when you see her parents, they're not that very old.
Yeah.
They're not old either. So it's like, some young buck is fucking that old man. Because he's always looked old.
Yeah. Well, the Sith, they can have children. Because they don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah, no, they don't care.
They don't give a fuck. But it's true. Like, when you see the prequels, there was never a hint
of a family. Who's getting wet for that?
Like, there was no family around him. He was by himself at all times.
Yeah. He got a family in a closet somewhere. That's what. I don't know. That's the name of this episode, by the way. Who gets what for Palpatine?
Yeah.
Because I need to know who the fuck's getting that. I have concerns.
You will have sex with this dick.
No. Yoda taking some side gigs there. Like.
Yeah. He getting all the old people wet.
Oh, God.
Which, I'm trying to think, like, there's so many other things. So, okay, remember another thing that got me a little annoyed? A lot annoyed?
Mm-hmm.
This is a general Star Wars complaint, but it was really hardcore in this one.
What?
Jedi ghosts.
Okay.
What can't Jedi ghosts do? Because when we see that she... I don't know. Rey throws the fucking lightsaber into that fire because she's just done. She wants to live on that island where Luke was and just, like, be a hermit and not fall to the dark side. And then he catches
Luke comes
it.
Out.
Fucking ghost Luke catches the it's lightsaber. Like,
not today, Satan.
Yeah. And then, like, he helps her out. And then he force lifts the fucking... His TIE fighter... Not TIE fighter. His X-Wing.
Yeah.
Out of the fucking ocean and shit. And it's like, hold on. Wait a second. You can do all that shit as a Force ghost. Why don't you fucking stop Palpatine then? Like, why aren't all the fucking Force ghosts just coming to everyone's aid? Like, this felt like anyone who's an atheist and wants to talk shit about God and is just like, if God's real, why doesn't he help? This is what it felt like. It's like, well, if you're a Force ghost and you could do all that shit, why don't you just help? It was a full-on God complex.
Oh, totally.
You know? And it's like, don't show that kind of shit because a logical person like myself is just going to be like, why the fuck don't you just help us? You know?
No, you see, George, that day, you just didn't know it. It was like the solstice of planet 9B268 was in retrograde, and it made it so that one Force ghost could come out that day for about 20 minutes to give a very important speech, you know, and he was at his strongest. But then that minute passed by and then he wasn't there anymore and he can't help.
Oh, okay. I must have been in the fine print of the beginning scrolling.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
It's hidden in the ancient texts.
Yeah. And at the end it said, fuck logic. Stuff like that. Which didn't that actually even lead to like him showing Rey Leia's lightsaber and then them training?
Yep.
That whole scene was cheesy as fuck and shitty. Like, how come... And I don't know if anyone really analyzed and looked at this, but the way young Luke and young Leia looked, they looked like they were New Hope.
New Hope.
And it's
they were babies.
They didn't train as Jedi together in the New Hope. And by the time we see him in Return of the Jedi, they look older. They are clearly older because years have passed. Star Wars came out in the fucking 70s, and we got fucking part 3 mid-80s, all right? It's like time has passed for these people. don't try to pretend in this film all of a sudden like, oh, no, no, no. When they were younger, they trained. Yeah, that happened.
You know, back when they didn't know they were related.
Yeah. Which that's this. This is a part of the reason where, like, I don't expect Star Wars to be an Oscar winning movie or Oscar winning kind of franchise.
It's because always
it's had plot holes since the beginning.
Yeah, it's always been cheesy. It's for sure.
Yeah. So I can forgive a lot when it comes to that shit.
Yeah.
I just can't forgive a lot when the whole movie and story is fucked up because of it. That's when there's bad things and there's complaints. I mean, like, what are other things that we can possibly talk about? I'm so enraged that I can't think of right now.
The kiss?
Oh, the kiss. Thank you.
Because the Raylo fans are fucking rejoicing right now because they're like, I fucking knew it. But at the same time, it's like bittersweet for them because he fucking dies. But
yeah. Which in turn, it's just like, well, then what was the point? What was that was like, this whole movie was fanfare. That's the thing. Anytime Abrams has been touching the Star Wars franchise, whether it's Force Awakens or The Rise of Skywalker, it's full fan service.
Oh, sure.
And I'm not against that. You can have moments of fan service, but know when and how to do them. For me, I'm a straight up. If you want to do this trilogy right, and people are like, oh, here's a guy who knows what he's talking about, you make Star Wars, and if you can make it better. I'd love to if I had the money, but no one knows me.
But I know you.
But let's think about this. If to have a really good Star Wars movie, we wouldn't have had the original characters come back, original actors. You know, there was no need for them, in my opinion. If you're going to have them come back just for The Force Awakens, but all together as a team, and then they get killed off. And then we see the new characters come in and take the reins. Because then that's a nice handoff of the baton. You get your fanfare and boom. And now these characters can have their own journey, their own story. Yeah. You know, the best connective tissue they actually could have had for fanfare to tie in the whole series of 9 films is the fucking droids.
Yeah.
Because the droids are the things that have been there since the beginning. We've had C-3PO and R2-D2 since the very beginning.
Let's be real. They're the stars of the show.
They really are. Because without the droids, you don't... Actually, let's talk about that for a moment.
Without the droids, they wouldn't succeed in anything.
In the first two trilogies. In this trilogy, I can't think of how the... if you take the droids out of... Actually, no, that's not true. I take that back. Yeah. It's true. They needed the droids. Without C-3PO giving them the information they needed from the Sith thing, they wouldn't have done anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, the droids are the key.
Yeah. Because in Force Awakens, R2-D2 and BB-8 had the map pieces.
What was in Last Jedi, though? I don't know if they... I can't remember if they actually helped out. I felt that was more about that ship blasting through another ship.
No, I'm sure they did something, some hacking they probably did. You know.
But maybe they didn't, because Johnson was very much about making his own thing. Which, that's the credit I give to Johnson. Johnson didn't want to be a part of the mold. He didn't want to do this cookie-cutter shit of catering to the fans. Because it's like, then you're not gaining anything. That's something I can give to the prequels. It's like, there was fanfare, but they tried to add things that we didn't have before.
Yeah.
You know, at least kind of story-wise.
Yeah.
You know, hate on the midichlorians as much as you want. At least it was something new. For me, having a whole film full of fanfare doesn't, I don't grow as a moviegoer.
Yeah.
I watched a filler episode. I shouldn't get filler episodes in a fucking movie series. You know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like when I watch Supernatural and they're having their little fun with like the Loki character and everything, it's like, all right, this is gonna be a filler episode of fun. I'm okay with
that's
that.
Okay, that's okay for television.
And that's fanfare episodes. Those are like those fanfic episodes. That's okay for that. You have 20 some odd episodes in a season. This is a franchise of 3 films, you know, or 9 films now. I don't want filler shit. I want substance.
Give me the meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the mistake. I feel like if it was just having that tie in with just the droids alone and that could be the connective thing. Because here's the thing, that scene with C-3PO. And he's just like, I'm looking at my friends for the last time or whatever bullshit. It's like, those aren't your fucking friends. What adventure did you have with these fuckers? Your friends died. They already died. They're all gone. And you don't even get to weep about it.
No, yeah, that was definitely that was a salute to the end of a series.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I didn't feel that connection with these people, you know? And especially with Kylo Ren and Rey. Them being this couple, it's like, no.
Yeah, it felt more just forced. Like yin and yang, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as far as like any kind of flirtation, like it's so forced.
Yeah.
It was just like, can we not just have anything be platonic for once? Like, does everything have to have some kind of romantic vibe to it?
Yeah. Like for the fandom, that's something that's annoyed me. It's like Kylo Ren and Rey have to be a couple. Poe and Finn have to be a couple. And it's just like, can't bros be bros? On both
ends. Let's just keep adding to that. Poe and Finn needed to be a couple. Finn and Rose needed to be a couple. Finn and Finn and Rey need to be a couple.
Yeah.
Finn and, oh god, I can't remember the new character, needs to be a couple.
No one cares.
Finn and BB-8 need to be a couple. Finn and, which, well, sorry, I'm cute.
Which
going.
To add to that, like,
Finn and Traitor Trooper need to be a couple.
Like anything that was important was shat on and it was thrown away.
Yeah.
So I don't care about this coupling between the two of fucking Rey and Finn. I mean, Rey and Kylo.
No.
That was stupid. It was a waste. But like Finn, him defecting from the stormtroopers, that had importance.
Oh yeah.
And now in this movie, I started thinking about this. That scene where he's like, Rey, I never got to tell you. And through the whole movie, we never get to know what he was going to tell her. In hindsight, I've thought about it and looked back. I think what he was going to tell her was the fact that he was force sensitive. They played it off like it was romantic because that's how it's been played off this whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But through this whole movie, they were pushing the fact that he had a connection with the force.
That's true.
You know, hardcore. And I don't mind that. That's okay. That could explain.
It goes part into anyone can be force sensitive.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And it could also show it's like, oh, why did he leave the First Order? Because he was force sensitive and he knew that this was wrong. You know, something in the force told him to not do it. So like having that whole thing, I liked that dialogue. That was good. What I didn't like is the fact that you have this whole other set of stormtroopers that also defected from the First Order, kind of taking away his shine. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's what made him so special.
I also think, in hindsight, I'm thinking back about it, but like, I feel like how she was talking about it was because when she found out who he was, she saw stars. It was like, This is the legend. This is my leader. This is the guy that I looked up to. This is what inspired us to lay down our weapons. So I feel like he was still special in that regard. He just wasn't the only one anymore. But
if they had said that, that would have changed everything.
No,
didn't say it.
No, but that's what I had inferred from that.
For me, it just felt like, oh, you defected too?
Yeah.
That was the conversation between the two of them. Yeah. Like, I did too. Like, oh my God, we're defectors. You know?
Yeah.
And then I just felt like, secret lovers. And because Rose didn't know.
No. Rose got friend zoned so hard.
So hard. Soda hard. But yeah, like that. I think that's what happened there, was that he was force sensitive and there was that. In which I felt like that should have been elaborated on then. That's a whole thing that was wasted. And granted, I know The Last Jedi didn't get to play into that. So maybe that, if Abrams had stuck on there, that could have been, delved into more. But because it wasn't, then it's just a waste of information.
Yep.
You know, it's just, that'd be like finding out at the end of the Return of the Jedi that Han is force sensitive too, you know?
Yeah.
And because they find out like, oh, actually people die in liquid carbonite, but because you have the force, you survived it.
Speaking of Han, poor Harrison Ford, man.
Oh my God.
He was out and they just dragged his ass back in. He looked like they just, like, his hair and everything, like, I feel like they just, like, he was walking down the street, just about to go get some groceries or whatever, and then he just got kidnapped on the side of the street. And where am I? And he just got thrown onto set. He's like, just say these lines, and then you're really done.
And you're free.
He's like, I was supposed to be free a long time ago.
Which part of that, like, I question, it's like, so wait, was that a force ghost? Or was that just in Ben's head? Like, did Ben see that? Like, did he construct that in his own mind? Because he didn't have the force ghost look.
That's true.
So it's like, and we've never seen something like that happen before. And I'm okay with something new happening, like I've been wanting.
Yeah.
But it's just, it had me questioning. Mm. Of like, what was that then? Was that Ben going crazy?
Was that Ben or was that even Leia's machinations as well?
Cause
she done her force touch from far away out to him.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just an elaborate ruse from her.
Which,
who knows?
Onto that. I really didn't want Kylo Ren to have redemption.
Nah.
I mean, like, redeeming Darth Vader is one thing. Like, he committed genocide, which was really bad. Like, multiple genocides. And that is hard to redeem. I can admit that. But that's why he died at the end, too.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a death redemption. You know?
You can't kill a bunch of kids and be...
Or destroy a whole planet.
Yeah.
Or destroy...
Yeah, there's hard to come back from that.
Yeah. So, like, having him do, like, what we thought was kill the Emperor... And then die right afterwards. It's like, that's the last good deed before you die. That's reasonable. Yeah. That's a warrior's death.
Yeah.
You know? Because let's be honest. Let's say if he survived, it would have been really hard to convince everyone on the planet, every planet. Like, he's good now.
No,
he's
good. Yeah.
He would have been in prison.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Or executed. It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, he would be tried for his crimes.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
But like granted, Kylo Ren, and this is what's also annoying, Kylo Ren led the same fate that his grandfather led, which was redemption and then death. And it's just like, okay, so you have no original ideas. You just have to copy what you saw in the past.
Yeah.
That's fun for everybody to see that shit. I would have much preferred that he didn't get redeemed.
Mm.
He killed his fucking father.
Yeah. You know?
That's some evil shit to do, considering his dad didn't do anything really that bad. I grant that maybe he went off for smokes and never came back, but that's not death worthy. Yeah. You know, you slap him in the face, you beat him up, but like death? No. And how do you come back from that? In my eyes, you really don't. And we have our friend at work who says that, and I can agree with him. I never wanted Kylo Ren redeemed. No, I liked him being bad.
I want my, speaking of that, just like in general, like I want my villains to be villains. Let villains be villains. I don't need a redemption story arc. I don't need to see them in like any kind of like another kind of like humane light. Just let villains be bad.
Yeah. That'd be like redeeming the Joker. I don't want the Joker to be redeemed.
No. No. I don't need that.
Yeah. Like they should have, no Palpatine, let fucking Kylo Ren be the Supreme Leader. Let him be the bad guy.
Mm.
Let him be the one, you know?
Yeah.
But now if you're going to redeem him, because they did it, so I had to accept that.
Yeah.
I would have loved if he was the Rise of Skywalker, being an actual Skywalker.
Mm.
You know, none of this, oh, I'm going to adopt the Skywalker name bullshit. No. No, all right? That's bullshit. I don't want that shit. Because then it's like, well, then you can't own who you are. You have to be someone else.
Yeah.
You know? Like, for me, being great is being me and taking my name. Like, I could easily change my name, but why would I want to do that? I can rather own my name and bring it to something better.
She can be Rey of Jakku.
Yeah.
Make Jakku great again.
Yeah. But why take the name? Like, I think she should have died. And if you're gonna redeem Kylo Ren, then she dies. And she goes to the dark side, and then he comes in and stops her. You know, there's many ways to do it. He could have came in and stopped her from, you know, because she went to the dark side, or they bring balance to the force, you know, and they met and they managed to actually harness both the good and the bad.
Because
that's something we never really see, is someone harnessing both the good and the bad together. Because that sounds like balance to me.
Yeah.
You know, if they had done something like that. Further on to that, let's talk about the point that Rey didn't want to kill Palpatine because she would have fallen to the dark side.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
But what does she do at the end?
She kills Palpatine.
If you had killed him sooner when he asked, Ben would have still been alive.
Ben would have still been alive. They would have had less casualties up in the sky.
Yeah.
It was because at that point she was consumed by hatred. And then she, you know, got some of her life sucked away and she went into like her baby coma. And then she had to just stare at the sky and be like, be with me.
What an annoying
phrase. And then they came with her. They went with her. They beed with her.
You said beed, not peed, right?
Right.
Okay. So I'll make sure.
It's not that kind of movie. It wasn't made by, I don't
know. Scott film.
I mean, no, it wasn't. Is Abrams German? No. Very much not so. But what was I saying? I lost my train of thought. I was too distracted by peeing now.
Pretty much like if Rey had done her job when she should have.
Yeah.
Then there's a lot that wouldn't have happened. And granted, I know how movies work. I know how these stories work. Like, if people just shot first right from the beginning of the movie, then you wouldn't have a movie.
Yeah.
I get that. But we're at the end of the movie now.
Oh, yeah. What I was trying to say at that point, if she did it the first time, she'd be consumed by hatred and then she'd have all that Sith shit inside of her. But at that point, she was with the light stuff and all the light things are inside of her. So she was killing not for rage, but killing for the purpose of being, of restoring peace to the world or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. But let's be honest. When you're taking a life.
Jedi's kill.
There's a little bit of rage. There's a
It happens. Yeah. You know, there's a war. There's no, like, because you're self-righteous bullshit. Like,
yeah,
because
let's be honest. If you're killing and you're happy, you're a bad person. Right? If you're killing in anger, I think that's more forgivable than someone who's killing in content.
Yeah.
You know?
He's a bad guy. You're doing your job.
Yeah.
This is what you've been fucking training for. You weren't training to scoop ice cream. I don't know why that was the first thought. Maybe it's because I want ice cream. I don't know.
Lightsaber scooping. Okay.
The Swiss Army lightsaber that she had the dark side version of her.
What a waste of a dope fucking lightsaber just for a fucking vision.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That made me sad.
Yeah.
I was really hoping that it would be like a real thing.
Me too. Which that's like, if they had just done that, imagine if she became that, you know?
Because it looked like it was heading in that direction at some point.
Yeah, she did the force lightning and shit.
Yeah. Wasted opportunity. Yeah.
Which she just got to do force lightning. There was no training involved in that one. Nope. Something you have to be trained to do.
When you get mad enough, you know, that's what happens. Lightning poops out of your fingers.
Oh, okay. I haven't got that mad yet, I guess.
No.
Maybe this movie will help me get there.
Maybe. Channel your inner Palpatine.
Yeah. Poopatine.
Surprised I never came to that conclusion before. It took this movie to do that.
Yeah. I'm still hurting. I'm still not over the lightning. I'm sorry. it scarred me, man.
I think I'm still reeling on the kiss. You remind me of the kiss, and now I'm thinking about the kiss. It's like...
What pissed me off is that, like, she killed him, and then she, like, collapsed, and then, you know, presumably dead.
Yeah.
And then Kylo Ren comes out.
Kylo Ben
comes out, and, you know, because earlier you see her save him after she stabs the shit out of him.
Yeah.
She gives her life, and she heals him, and then now he's returning the favor. He's giving part of his life, and then he force fades away because he dies. And it's like, wait, all these force users, when we see them, they die.
Yeah.
And they fade away. So it's like, did she not need that shit? Because she didn't fade away when she was supposedly dead. She was on the ground for a bit.
Yeah.
Before he got to her. So it's like, I don't think she needed the healing. You could have just slapped some bandages on her and she probably would have been fine. He didn't need to die at that point, apparently.
Like, you just put the Vicks vapor rub on his chest and he'd feel good again.
Yeah. Just give her some NyQuil, slap some Robitussin on there. I don't know.
Boom, done.
Yeah. Tiger Balm. All good.
No, it's true. I think that we kind of talked about it before on our drive back home from this. It's like, that's a Skywalker thing. Skywalkers get to fade away. And if you're connected to the Skywalkers, like Yoda or Ben, then you get to fade away. But otherwise, if you're a Palpatine, no fade for you. You get to disintegrate.
But in that regard, you know, she was training with the Skywalker, so she should have faded away too. The ancient texts, man.
Wishful thinking on that one, I guess.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you healed her for nothing, bro. She was fine. She was taking a nap. She had too much turkey at dinner. A little trip to fan. So sad.
Yeah. Which I also wanted, I was like, I didn't think about this before, but that whole Sith nation, where the fuck did they come from?
They were gathering parts to...
Apparently so.
...keep Palpatine alive all these years and making fleet things.
But it's like, with the Sith, there's the rule of two.
Yeah.
You have the master and the apprentice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But who the fuck were all these guys?
Like, dude, I don't even know.
Because there was a lot of them.
There was a whole arena full of people watching.
Yeah, and I was like, wait, honestly, what are you guys doing?
I know the universe is very vast, and, you know, and granted, no one knew where this planet was either. Like, you had to have this special
coordinates
cube of triangle thing. Yeah. It wasn't really a cube. To get there, so not everyone knew this planet, but it's like, you're moving a lot of pieces. How is no one detecting this? It's like,
seriously,
you know, when anyone moves a massive amount of money into their accounts, some government agency knows.
Yeah.
How are you going to get with that? I don't. Someone's got to be talking. Makes no sense. But you know what would make sense? If our boy Space Hitler was on that team and he was covering it up all that time because he was in cahoots, then it would kind of make some sense. He was like, oh, it's like, let me slide some funds this way to help, you know, help the cause of fuck Kylo Ren and the rest of the universe. And, you know, but no, that's not how they played that out.
Which, here's, just thought of this right now. Hux. Let's say, again, I want to eliminate Palpatine from this equation altogether. All right, so better story idea moment.
All right, hit me up.
We mentioned how badass Hux is in the first two films and how he stands with the Kylo Ren. What if the whole time he was a Sith? And then he was like someone like deep in that shit. And then like Kylo Ren just didn't know it. And then he was actually being swayed by him the whole time. And like
the he true was mastermind.
Give me some more interesting shit.
Give
it could have been believable.
Instead of something like too convenient and cookie cutter like that. Yeah. Like, give me some intrigue. Like, let's make this a bit more interesting.
There's good characters that to work off of.
Yeah.
Like, if that had happened, I would have been like, oh shit. That's why Hux was so confident in fucking two films. That's why Hux is the one in Force Awakens giving that badass speech. That's why Hux is the one talking to fucking Poe Dameron over the comms in The Last Jedi. It's not fucking Kylo Ren leading the First Order. It's always Hux. Kylo Ren, like, even though he's a leader, he becomes supreme leader of the thing, but like, it at times it never truly felt like he was leading as much as he was following.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And Hux never felt like he was following. No. He felt like a leader.
Yeah.
Even when Snoke was around, he still felt like a top dog person. And that would have explained a lot. That would have been like, holy shit, the whole time it's him, you know?
Mm.
And it's like, it could have been even like, wow, what's a good example here? Remember in another bad movie, Iron Man 3.
Okay.
So we had the Mandarin, the fake Mandarin.
Yeah.
But the whole time the real Mandarin was Killian, or whatever his name is, fucking this guy, Guy Pearce. Guy Pearce was the real Mandarin, but we didn't know he was the Mandarin.
Yeah, you know? Give me the twist.
Yeah,
And it's like, oh, wow, it was you the whole time. Okay. That's what Hux could have been. He could have had that moment where it's like, I've been the guy. I'm the true, yeah, the true villain.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Because, you know, he was smart. They made it seem like he was the one who came up with the idea of doing Starkiller Base,
yeah,
and all that shit. Because when they bring it up in this one, and they make it seem like it's all his fault that that thing failed. Like it was his grand plan. Even though it didn't really fail. It was a great idea. It destroyed like 5-6 planets. That seems like a win to me. That's just...
Here's another thing.
Hit me.
So Kylo Ren, right?
Yeah.
Since we saw him in Kylo, since we saw Kylo Ben in Force Awakens, right? Opens up that scene, killing the village or whatever, and then he stops that blaster bullet in midair.
The most badass scene.
Yeah. And, you know, towards the end of the movie, he's punching his guts back in.
Yep.
You know, he's formidable. He's strong. He knows how to use the Force. He's not the best swords fighter, but he's got strength. He's, yeah, Ben Solo. You know, we saw him without the shirt. You know?
Yeah, no, the Force is definitely strong with him.
Yes.
For sure.
How is it that all of a sudden, when he has his change of heart and he's good all of a sudden,
yes,
he's getting his ass whooped by his own dudes all of a sudden? It's like, all of a sudden, he doesn't know how to use Force push very well. He knows his hand-to-hand combat sucks all of a sudden. It's like, what happened to you, boy?
Yeah.
You took on 6 people by yourself before. All of a sudden, these 6 people?
Yeah. Yeah, opening scene takes out an army. Like, we saw when they were done killing everyone,
mm-hmm,
easily over 50 dudes.
Yeah.
Dead. And they had weapons.
Yeah. It was complete decimation. Yeah.
And that one, like, he barely used the Force. It was mostly lightsaber.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, he was formidable. These are the Knights of Ren, mm-hmm, which means these are his bitches. His bitches got him. Like, yeah, you should know all their tricks. Yeah. It's definitely the sense of, like, it's not just Star Wars. I will note, every story of good and bad has, yeah, this flaw.
It's
how
true.
Come good people don't know how to use badass powers? But yeah, when you're bad, powers are limitless.
Yeah, it makes no sense because it's still the Force.
Yeah.
You're still using the Force.
It's still the same brain.
Yeah.
He has all the same know-how that he had before.
Why did he throw his lightsaber away?
I think it's because that's just... It's
a symbol.
Yeah, it represented something bad. But he had the Force still. He could have easily fucking Force-waved the rest of them away from him, mm, in one shot.
Force choke some bitches, yeah, or whatever. Yeah.
Like, no, like, there was no reason to get his ass kicked. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, I'm weak now because I'm good. I'm, mm-hmm, Ben.
Yeah, he jumps onto that chain, which I thought was funny at this point.
Yeah,
at that point in time, yeah, when he's like, ow. But it was just like, it just became so out of character because all of a sudden he's a part of the light side now. The, yeah, light side has gotten to him. It was just like, what the fuck just happened here?
Yeah, it means the light side's weak.
Yeah.
And that the Skywalkers are weak.
Yeah.
That's what it all came down to. It's like the Skywalkers they're not the one. None of them are the one.
Could not.
Yeah.
They all die.
Womp womp. Wompity womp.
Sucks to suck, bro. Like this movie.
Man.
It's so bad.
It makes me feel bad that for this episode one for us here is...
Just talking shit.
Yeah.
Just talking shit.
It's just a rambling rant of fury.
I assure you, we're not normally like this. Okay, we are.
Yeah.
We talk shit a lot. That's kind of our thing.
But for good cause.
Yeah.
It's all for a good cause. It's for the greater good.
Yeah. It's not.
I think it is. Like, it's... It makes me sad. I have lots of friends on Facebook that, mm, right now watch this film and are singing its praise. And it's like, can't someone just be honest about what they saw? Again, I saw some pretty things, yes. But let's stop lying and saying that this was a good story, because it wasn't.
It wasn't. There was, you know, lack of continuity.
Yeah.
Complete destruction of characterization. Poor CGI.
For the lightning. Yeah. Other characters were fine. I mean, your boy, your little dude...
Drunk Uncle. Okay, he was the best part of that movie.
Yeah.
I love Drunk Uncle.
I mean, there was some good stuff. But,
no, yeah.
I mean, for a story goes, like, nothing truly happened.
It was 2 hours
and
20 minutes of bullshit, to be honest.
Yeah, for, like, I want anyone who truly loved this story to tell me something new and original that the story did.
Mm.
That no other story has done before. And granted, it's hard to make a new story. I get that.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big question, big ask to have. But you could still add some kind of nuance. You know what I mean? Just one little thing. Instead of just... I mean, Finn was wearing Han Solo's pants.
Yeah.
Why was he wearing Han Solo's pants? Just so that people who were fans were like, oh, Han Solo pants? Oh my God, my childhood. You're retarded. You're right. And oops, I used the R word. Oh no. But it's like,
you're
come
in
on.
Trouble.
I'm like, it's the fan service for the sake of fan service is not good.
Yeah.
Why bother then? I'm sorry. If you want fan service, pop in the old fucking movies. There's your fan service. All right?
You want fan service? That's what fan fiction is for. Go to AO3.com to get some Star Wars fics.
And granted, I'm fully aware people probably say it to us right now because that's what we're asking for. Yeah. But you know what, though? I've seen some better fan fiction in my life than what I got.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because here's the God's honest truth. Anything that people want to reference of stuff of like why they can defend this movie and this whole trilogy is going to be because they read something in a comic book or in a novel or in a video game and be like, oh, this is really good in that. And this is why they were able to do this in the movie. Guess what? All those fucking novels that came out, those were written by fucking George Lucas. Those were fan fiction novels. And George Lucas just gave them the go ahead. Mm. That's all it was. Mm. It's like he saw an opportunity to make money as what he did to the whole like time that he owned Star Wars. Yeah. And that's smart. I got to give him that. But let's be straight up. Those were fan fiction. Yeah. So anything that you like that was extended universe is because of a fan. Mm. You know, this was not made by a fan, I feel. As much as he says he was a fan of Star Wars, I don't feel that.
Yeah.
Like, what? Wouldn't you want to do something new with the franchise that hasn't been seen yet?
Yeah.
There must have been something that you saw in the old trilogy that's like, man, I wish they'd done this.
Yeah, like, I wonder if how pigeonholed was he with the studios, if anything, if he was. You know, because that plays a
big I don't think anyone was, because if someone, if there was pigeonholing, Last Jedi wouldn't have happened.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Straight up. And I'm not hating on Last Jedi. I liked it. But the things that people have complained about it, they wouldn't have happened if there was more control over what was going on in that whole series.
Nah, you're right. Yeah.
So, okay. We've gone on for a bit. I can't think of anything else that infuriated me. I definitely can't think of anything else that made me happy.
Yeah. The ending? The end credits made you happy when it was, we can go
Oh,
on.
Well, the score.
Oh, the score is always fantastic.
It's always great.
It always,
every
you know,
Star Wars film, great
every,
score.
Every time you hear the Imperial March, like, yeah. It's just, it's a good time.
Yeah. Which actually, as we left, that's what we heard playing was that. And it was just like, well, that's fitting because the dark side won when it came to storytelling. But let's finish this off. Like, trilogy-wise, I stated, I feel as a trilogy, this is the worst trilogy of the three. Number one being the prequels, number two being the OG.
Mm.
And it's solely because of continuity and how to tell a proper story within three films.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Visual effects-wise, I feel original had the best visual effects because it was all practical.
It was all practical.
You know, followed up by this one having the second best visual effects, and then the worst being the prequels because while, yes, CGI was awesome to use, it still wasn't at its peak yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot, like, you watched that, it did not age well. And I'll be honest, I watched it in the theaters when it came out. It still felt unreal back then, you know.
Best fight scenes were the prequels, though.
Best fight scenes, prequels, hands down.
For sure.
Second is this, last being the OGs.
Yeah.
That's within reason. You know?
You're right.
Fight scenes weren't great back then, you know.
When you have Ray Park as Darth Maul doing shit, like...
Oh, my God.
How do you compete?
Seriously.
It was amazing.
Yeah. But that's... I think my biggest complaint with this, too. It's like... That's not a complaint. Because I can see the reason why the sword fights weren't good in this.
Right.
You gotta think. Kylo Ren was trained by Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker was not a good swordsman.
Mm.
You know, he was a force user. He was better with the force than he was with the lightsaber.
Yeah.
You know, so that's reasonable that he wasn't good. Rey had really no proper training.
True.
And when she finally did get training, who was it from? Luke Skywalker. So for their battles to be as weak as they were and not as high impact as what we've seen in the prequels, totally understandable.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Absolutely.
You know, but at the same time, it's like, since we are a newer movie, it would have been kind of cool to have some better fight scenes.
There could have been some more acrobatics.
Yeah. Which, like, that's another thing I always notice with all of Star Wars.
Yeah.
The force is not used to the fullest.
Yeah, give me some force gymnastics, man.
Yeah, like, when we see Rey, our first scene with Rey in this movie is her levitating herself with a bunch of rocks around her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that moment when she had to go to the fucking ship and get that fucking piece, the Sith thing, Sith radar, she went on a boat. Why the fuck are you going on a boat in that fucking wave of chaos? Float your ass over there with the force. Why is no one using the force to fucking fly?
Because that's not how the force works, George.
Apparently not. The force uses no logic. But what I was going to ask is, where do you rate this film in the 9 films of the Star Wars series? Because I know where it is for me.
Yeah, you stated that.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
You know, if this movie was better, then it would have been at the top for me.
Wow, at the top.
If this movie was better. If this movie was better than that, I feel like maybe it's because I'm a baby and I don't remember the old ones just as well. But I feel like there was more entertaining things for me.
Okay.
And more of a visual spectacle for me. But because this movie tanked so poorly, so bad for me, that it went to the bottom of the pile.
Exactly where it is for me.
Yeah. So... We're talking about, like, the trilogies, right? How you were ranking trilogies or what?
Well, I was saying the nine films.
Oh, but, you want me to do that?
Yeah, because for me, it's dead end at the.
Oh, that's for sure dead end.
Yeah. Like it's number nine. Yeah, it's number nine.
Yeah, but you know how my brain works. It's all like it's all everything that I saw.
It's
like
it's all one film.
It's all one film at this point. So. Okay,
so in that case, then I guess for you, how did the trilogy rank then?
It's probably the same as yours. Yeah. Whatever. So for me, if I'm ranking movies, so like episode nine is last. Whatever episode had Jar Jar Binks is right after.
Right about that. Well, there's three episodes that had Jar Jar Binks.
Okay, so all those just stack them on top of each other and then.
Okay. So I'll assume it's episode one, two, and three.
Like whichever the one had the most Jar Jar Binks one. And then followed by the X, just stack them in order. So whichever one has the least is higher on the totem pole. And then.
Poor Jar Jar.
I didn't need that in my life ever again.
As much as I don't like Jar Jar. For kids that grew up with that series, I get it. Maybe if I was a kid, maybe I would have enjoyed him more. But I wasn't a kid. I was an adult. It's as much as, like, I liked the Ewoks because I was a kid when that movie came out.
Uh-huh.
But, like, anyone who was a kid watching Star Wars, A New Hope, and then became an adult, or at least a teenager or whatever, and then saw Return of the Jedi, they didn't like the Ewoks because it was too family-friendly for them. You know? So, like, I kind of get it at times. But, yeah, I'm an adult. I don't like Jar Jar. I have nothing else to say about this film.
No.
I'm hoping it's the last one.
Well, isn't it supposed to be the last of this?
Supposedly, but, you know, Celine Dion says she was going to retire also, and she still does her shit. And same thing with Jay-Z and everyone else that does stuff.
True. It makes a money maker.
No one retires. No one stops making sequels.
True.
At least we have Baby Yoda.
Oh, God, Baby Yoda. I love that thing so much.
Yeah.
Just with, like, everyone else, except for Oscar Isaac, apparently. You see that shit?
He doesn't like Baby Yodes?
No.
I did not know this.
He was in some interview with John Boyega and, you know, some press tour or whatever. And I didn't see the interview. I just saw, like, GIFs on Tumblr. And it was just like, that thing is evil. And he's like, should someone kill it? Stomp on it. Squish it. I was like...
Are these quotes?
Yeah.
No. I respect him so much. Why did he say that? That makes me sad.
And so? Because Baby Yoda is the greatest... Baby Yoda is saving Star Wars right now.
Yeah.
That was a palate cleanser, watching The Mandalorian.
Oh my God, yeah,
We watched Rise of Skywalker Thursday night, opening night, and then we're like, fuck, kill me, and then we went to work, and then got home from work, we watched Baby Yoda, and everything was fine again. All was right in the world. The balance was restored.
And that was a good episode, too. That helps. Like, there have been some weaker episodes in The Mandalorian, but that was a strong one.
Excellent use of the Force, Baby Yoda, Force choking the shit out of Gina Carano.
Yep.
Because he was protecting Daddy.
Protect.
Yeah. He was so cute. He got so angry.
Angry Baby Yoda is adorable.
Fuck. I just love that she's like all mad and shit about it. And he's like, you're fine. Hey, old man, can you make this bassinet a little bit more padded so the baby can be more comfortable? It's like, I know you almost died there, but I gotta make sure baby's comfy and can sleep at night.
Maybe next time we'll have something more positive to talk about.
Maybe.
Maybe not. So that was it. Tell us your thoughts. Like, honestly, listening to the review again, because I listened to it just to make sure everything was fine.
Yeah.
And I've seen clips again. Like, I haven't watched the movie again since that day in December.
Right. We don't need to do that.
But, like, I don't think I'll ever watch that Star Wars again, which makes me sad to say that, because I've watched every Star Wars prior to that. Cancel what I'm about to say. I was going to say I've watched all of them more than once, but I have not watched Rogue One again, and I have not watched Solo again. And
I don't think those count, like, those side
ones, they don't count.
Of the main episodes.
But I will never watch those movies again either, though. Yeah. I have no reason to watch those two films, and I have no reason to watch this film again. I think from now on, for the rest of my life, I'll watch episodes 4, 5, and 6, you know, A New Hope through The Last Jedi. All these fucking names. I'll watch A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. Those are my Star Wars that I'll forever watch. I don't have to watch anything else, honestly. That's all I need.
Dude, I can't remember what their names.
They've all mushed together
in my brain.
I'm a Star Wars fan. I've been a Star Wars fan since I was a kid, and I'm at a place now where, like, there are too many. It's like, wait, where are we at again? What Force during where what?
with the lightsabers and I'll never.
But yeah, I still feel the same. Everything I thought back then, I still feel now. Probably even more.
The holiday special.
I've seen the holiday special twice.
Oh, okay.
So even the holiday special,
I would watch it again.
Which is not good. Which
no, it's kind of creepy.
I've watched multiple times on purpose.
But it's funny.
You can laugh at it, though.
You can laugh at it. That's goofy as fuck.
Yeah.
And you get what was in essentially the first time you see Boba Fett in an animated form. And it was a cool animation. Like, there are little things about the holiday special that are kind of worthwhile, you know, because of what they brought to the series. And Boba Fett was one of those things.
Yeah.
You know, even though, granted, Boba Fett's cool. I'm not going to shit on Boba Fett hardcore, but he's an overrated character, in my opinion. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, I know.
Mandalorian is a better fucking Mandalorian than any fucking else that we see.
Yeah.
It's like, honestly, fuck Boba Fett. Fuck Jango Fett, all right? The Fets are no good. they don't bring anything to the table but death to themselves. And people can argue, it's like, but Jango Fett was all the clones. And where are they now? They're all dead, all right?
Dead.
They kind of stopped using them. I mean, they're all, like, how good was he? I'm going to digress again before we end the episode. But I just got to say this right now. How good was Jango Fett of a quote-unquote bounty hunter, even though there's possible lore that he's not even really a Mandalorian, that he was a fake Mandalorian, mm-hmm. just as much as Boba Fett's a fake Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a different thing. But you gotta think, he was supposed to be this badass bounty hunter, cool dude. It's like, he's so awesome, we're gonna make a bunch of clones of him and then use him in our army.
Yeah.
And those became stormtroopers eventually.
And then they can't shoot for
It's like, hold on a second. You know, why'd you get this guy who sucks at shooting? Or was that a part of the bad clone effect?
Yeah, like, there's that trope where, like, when you clone something, like, they get dumbed down, like, watered down a bit.
You ever seen the movie Multiplicity
with
Michael Keaton?
Yeah.
And, like, for those who haven't seen Multiplicity with Michael Keaton, the premise is that he's a like, architect, contractor, person, or whatever, and his job takes so much time away from him that he doesn't do stuff around the house, and he doesn't spend much time with his wife as much as he used to.
Mm-hmm.
And life is kind of is passing him by. So he ends up meeting this dude that he does, like, a job for, whatever, who's created the cloning process. So the guy clones him, and now he has a second dude of himself that can help around with things. And this version is really good at the job. Like, he's very job-oriented.
Yeah.
And so he's focused on that. Now, regular Michael Keaton gets to go on his merry way and go sailing and hang with friends and sometimes be with his wife. But now he's taken so much me time that he's still not really hanging out with his wife yet.
Yeah.
And the other one is so focused on work that he's like, well, I don't get to live a life. This isn't really fair. And so regular Michael Keaton's like, all right, I got this. So he makes a second clone. And that clone is more of like the caregiver. He's the one who has emotions and he's sentimental and he takes care of all the housework. So now there's someone there to be with the wife, you know, so she's not alone. There's someone working at the job and now he has a lot of free time and he's just fucking living going to town.
Best life.
Yeah. You know, not doing, he's not cheating on his wife.
No.
I will say that. He's cheating on life.
He's just having a grand old time.
But now you have the other two who, by the way, are living like in the garage and the wife doesn't know this.
She never goes in the garage. Yeah. Doesn't hear the sounds.
Yeah. So they're living like in this, like in the freaking guest house garage. And it gets to a point where like they're getting kind of fed up and they're like, this is some bullshit. So I think the number two, we'll call him, he makes a clone of himself. So this is a third clone and he's not as bright as everybody else. He's kind of like, my name is Dante.
To put it lightly, yeah.
Like I think there's like a scene when they're trying to get information out of him. And the only way to get information out of him is that they give him like Pepsi or whatever.
He's like, more Pepsi. Pepsi.
But he's so stupid. Like, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't get anything right at all. And I feel like that's what happened.
To the stormtroopers.
Because Jango eventually died.
They lost some motor. Yeah, they lost their, like, motor skills.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, man, we lost that DNA sample we had of Jango. Now he's dead. We got a bunch of clones. Just use that DNA. It'll work, right? It has to. Science.
And then the fall of the Empire.
Yeah. But that's a side gripes.
Yeah. I still think back of, like, when in The Mandalorian, how they poke fun at, like, the not being able to shoot very well.
Yeah.
And it's when they were watching Baby Yoda. And they were just shooting the shit out in the desert or, like, the outskirts of the town. They were just, like, target shooting. Yeah. Target practicing. And the can was not even, like, 10 feet away.
It was so close.
It was so close and they missed every time. But they make fun of it, too, in
throughout the series, actually.
Yeah, but also in the game Fallen Order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I heard that their conversations.
Yeah, it's fun when you're like, you're nearby, like you can hear conversations like through a wall or like whatever of like the troopers talking shit or whatever. And they're like, oh, when you find the Jedi, I'll kill him. I'll shoot him. Blah, 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 blah. And then he fucking misses.
Yeah.
Because they're fucking terrible. It's the best run on joke.
Yeah.
Honestly. Terrible. Eh? But anyways.
That's that. Are you guys Star Wars fans? Are you still a Star Wars fan after watching The Rise of Skywalker? You know, how do you feel? Over time, have you been able to accept what happened and just, you know, it is what it is and there's no going back?
For me, it is what it is. There's no going back in the sense that I'm not going back to watch it.
Yeah, same here. But let us know, you know. Hit us up on our social media. You can follow Beaver Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr. Jen, where can I follow you?
Lazarus Trash Pit on Instagram and Twitter.
And of course, I am Nekolopolis, Nekolopolis on Instagram and Twitter. And if you like Beaver Rodeo and you want to support what we do, hit up our artist shop, which is Nekolaz, Nekolaz, on Threadless, where you can get Beaver Rodeo merch, t-shirts, throw pillows, mugs, phone cases, throw pillows, throw pillows, throw pillows.
Throw pillows. Throw the pillows.
I mean, have you ever thrown a throw pillow? Not really.
Yeah.
As always, keep it slapping.
What are you doing? Looking for beavers. Woo! All right.
Oh, I feel like a power in it. Hey, you see that? My dick's asleep.